Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for something about this fall weather that just like dries my throat out. Oh, okay. So, I'm Sarah Lindstrom, pastor of, I've been here quite a few times, pastor of Rectify Church. We're a church plant in Allegan. And we had our two-year anniversary. Praise God for that. So amazing. He's so good, so good. And also the chaplain for Forgotten Man Ministries in Allegan County. And just so incredibly blessed. Blessed to be able to be here and share God's word, but also just blessed in general. It's like that song, I can't imagine my life without Jesus. I can't imagine, like there's just... You know, life is not always easy. There's bumps in the road, but man, when you're walking with Him, there's just this peace that comes with that, and you just kind of cruise on through. And some days are better than others, and some days are just really great. And but every day is good, and I'm thankful for that. Today we're going to be in John 11. I don't know if it's going to be up on the screen or not, but. So if you have your Bibles with you, I'd encourage you to turn to John 11. We're going to be in verses 38 through 44. And this is probably a very familiar story to many of you. It's Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And there's so much good stuff that can be said about this particular passage. And I'm just going to, I like to put myself in stories. I like to think about how it applies to me. And I love like history. I love going to old homes and old places and just imagining how many people must have been there before me. Like a church like this that's been here for a while is really cool to imagine that there were so many people who've been sitting in these seats before you, the you know forefathers of the faith who've come before you, and there's just something so cool about that. And that's I like to read the Bible that way. I put myself there just really yearning and wondering what it would have been like to live during that time. So we're going to be, like I said, John 11, we're going to start at verse 38. But first I want to open with a word of prayer and just pray God's blessing upon the reading of His word. And also just to ask that He speaks to us today. And so let's go to God in prayer and humble ourselves before Him. Lord, You are so good. You are so good. And each and every person here that is here, we know that You have brought here for such a time as this. There's a reason why we're here. And that reason is to encounter You. Each and every person is like, we all are searching for something. And that deep desire that we have within us is just for restoration and to know who we are and to know who You are and just to be filled and to be restored. And so, Lord, as we read Your word in these next few moments that we have together, I pray for restoration. I pray for resurrection in our lives. And I just pray that we have a Holy Spirit encounter with You. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So John 11, verse 38, I'm reading out of the NIV. And I'm really kind of, I've had this Bible for years and years and years, and it's kind of small print, and I'm getting to the point now where I'm realizing that I need something maybe a little bit larger. So if I stumble along, give me grace if I mess up, if I trip up on some words, because they're pretty small. But I just don't want to get rid of it. All right, John 11, verse 38. Just a little bit of the story before we pick up here. Jesus was a couple of miles away from here when He gets word that this man that He loves, Lazarus, is ill, and He hesitates before going. And Mary and Martha, who are Lazarus's sisters, aren't real happy with the fact that He hesitated to get there. And but Jesus has a reason for everything that He does. And so we're picking up there. Jesus had the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept is just a couple of verses before where we're starting. And He wept because He lost His friend and He was sad and He saw His other people weeping. And so this is where we pick up. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," He said. But Lord, said Mary, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he will have been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! Oh, how cool that would have been. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Oh, that just like so cool, so cool. So the fact that they didn't want the stone to be rolled away, in Jewish tradition, well, first off, the human body in that particular climate would have began to putrefy very quickly. It would have started to decay probably within at most 3 days because of the heat and the moisture. And the Jewish belief also was that the spirits of the departed would hover around a tomb for 4 days until the face of the deceased was unrecognizable. And then it was that point when the body was so decayed that they could no longer recognize it, that they believed that the spirit would then leave the tomb. So that's why it's important that he waited for 4 days for this to happen, so that they would know that, okay, this guy is really dead. He's really dead. And where I find myself in the story is, so Jesus was only 2 miles away, but he waited to get there. And 2 miles, in all actuality, they walked everywhere and they were probably in really good shape. It wouldn't have taken him very long to get there. And yet when he comes, both of the sisters say, they've got this kind of if-only mindset. And I'm really good at an if-only mindset. Dennis and I just had a conversation, well, yesterday, I think, it was about if-only. And he's like, you can't do that. And if only you had been here, our brother would still be alive. Essentially saying, you know, God, where were you? And I think we all have asked ourselves probably that question at one time or another. God, where were you? If only you had been here, I wouldn't have gotten cancer. If only you had been here, my spouse maybe wouldn't have left me. If only you had been here, fill in the blank. We all have got an if only. If only, if only, if only. And at this point of this if only kind of mindset, this way I can relate with Mary and Martha, Jesus still in the midst of it, we got Lazarus in the tomb, who's just a dead mess, like literally a dead mess. And Jesus says, take away the stone, roll away the stone. And he shouted for Lazarus to come out. And this is why I love the gospel. So he shouts for Lazarus to come out, and Lazarus comes out. And I think we all have some sort of tomb that we're in, some sort of prison that is holding us captive. There's something in our life that's holding us captive. And God is here today to say, come out. Come out of your mess. Come out of your tomb. I am here to set you free. Come out and meet me. Come to me so that I can set you free. I can set you free from bitterness. I can set you free from unforgiveness. I can set you free from self-pity, from resentment, from your bad attitude, from whatever it is that's holding you enslaved to the world. Because we're called to live in the world, but not to be of the world. Which isn't always difficult, or which isn't always easy. It's difficult. If you are a Christian believer, you have the Holy Spirit residing in you. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple where the Jewish people would go and to worship God. We are now that temple. Each and every one of you, we're a piece of that temple. We're a piece of that foundation. That's the church, not just HCRC, but every single church that's worshiping this morning around the world. We are all part of that temple. And so here, in the midst of all of this, coming out is really can be incredibly scary. It's and let's face it, like when we have a mess in our lives or a bad relationship or you know, maybe some bad friendships and or some things that we're doing in secret that we know that we're not supposed to be doing, and when we are doing these things or we're held captive to these things, they're very familiar, and familiarity is comfortable. And I don't know that there's anybody here that really likes to be uncomfortable. It's not fun to be uncomfortable. And yet we live in this world where it amazes me how I just had this conversation yesterday with somebody too, about like when we were kids. I'm 45 years old, which isn't old by any means, but yet when I was a kid, like things are so much different now than they were when I was a kid. And now our kids have access to technology and cell phones. Like my Google when I was a kid was the encyclopedias at the library. Like we had to actually work for it when we had to write reports and we had to do things. And now we're in this age of technology. Everybody wants what they want and they want it now. And we're always so busy and we're moving from one thing to the other thing that we don't take the time to really just slow down and enjoy life and to just relish in the moment. And to, I think that's what we're missing out on. And in the midst of that busyness, I think, what if we were to give God the same amount of time that we give the enemy? I'm going to say that again because it's important. What if we were to give God the same amount of time that we give the enemy? And if we really were to search our hearts, how much time we sing these beautiful songs and we listen, we go to Bible studies and we maybe listen to Christian radio, but in all actuality, like, are we really living it? Are we really living it? And there's some days that I am really good at it, and there's some days not so much, if I'm being honest. That's our flesh. That's what we wrestle with. That's the humanity that's within us. And Jesus came. He's a resurrection God. He's a God who came to heal. He's a God who came to restore. He wants to restore what is broken. We all are yearning. So when we are drinking alcohol or we're doing drugs or we're self-medicating with, it can be TV or relationships or whatever you're doing to fill your time, shopping. You know, my daughter and I love to go to thrift stores. That's just really super fun. But whatever we do to like make ourselves feel better, those are things we're trying to fill something within us because we want to feel good. And yet what we're really wanting and desiring is relationship with Jesus. We're wanting to be restored to the way that it was in the garden, where God was walking alongside them in the garden and they were communing together. And I think sometimes life, like we have these moments where we feel like super good and super at peace and we can feel God, and then we walk, you know, like then you go out into the world and you go back to work and you have to deal with an oppressive boss, or you have to deal with people who aren't very nice or people who cut you off in traffic. You have to deal with all of these things, and then all of a sudden you find yourself being a little bit grouchy. And I think we really need to be mindful of those things and turn ourselves back towards, you know, we step away from the garden, we step out into the world, and we feel alone and we feel vulnerable, and we're yearning to feel fulfilled and feel restored. And the only way that we can do that, and it's hard, is this. This is the living and breathing Word of God. And so whatever you're filling yourself with and whatever you got going on, just kind of think about why am I doing, why, what's the purpose of this and why am I doing this? Am I doing it because this is really a good, healthy thing to do, or am I doing it because it's not so much? What am I seeking? And Jesus wants so bad, like I said, to have you come out of whatever tomb is enslaving you. The stinky, decaying, dirty mess. He's saying, come, come out. Come out and come to me. The tomb is open. It's been rolled away. And we don't have to stay in our past anxiety. We don't have to stay in depression. We don't have to stay in regret. We don't have to live in this what if kind of world. Today is the day to stop believing the lies of the enemy, to stop believing that you're not good enough, to stop believing whatever it is that's triggers you, because we have triggers. There's things from our past. There's people from our past who have wounded us. There's things. It's time to let them go and to stop believing the lies. And it's time to start living. And it's time to come out of the tomb. And it's time to be free. Because when you walk out of here and you are free and you know who you are and you know whose you are and you live into the identity of sons and daughters of the risen King, everywhere you go, you bring that light with you. And that's what the church, you need each other. We need each other. And it's good to have each other and it's good to gather. But it's also meant so that when you walk out of here, you bring Jesus with you wherever you go. Have a ministry of smiles. Have a ministry of kindness, whether it be at a gas station, a grocery store, your kids' school, in your homes. You know, I've been guilty of this, like yelling at my kids to get in the car so we can get to church, you know, and then you get in and you walk in and you pretend like you're the perfect family just to go back out in the car and they're fighting and poking at each other and driving each other crazy. And so... But to really just live into it and to live as if Jesus is right there with you. Like he is with you. He's in this room and he's sitting right next to you. He really is. And this is the part of the story that I like. And I think this is the part of the story that fits our ministry so well at Rectifying with Forgotten Man is Jesus doesn't tell us who... unbound Lazarus. The story doesn't tell us who. He just says, unbind him and let him go. And that's where we come in. That's where we come in. It's not a job. We get to unbind people and let them go. We get to walk alongside people. We get to love people. We get to just I really have been focusing on the Lord's Prayer. This is like for over the last 6 months. Give us this day our daily bread. Like I really have been struggling, because some days it's a struggle though, to live into, Lord, give me what I need today. Give me who I need today. And let me just enjoy today and not worry about tomorrow and not think about what is going to happen tomorrow. And to not think about the big picture, but just the freedom. You know, when your kids are little or your grandkids are little and they're running around and they're just enjoying life. Like, I want that. And that's what God wants for us. You are his kids. You are God's kids. And he wants you just to be free and just to live with that innocent, sweet spirit. And in the midst of that innocence, like my oldest daughter was so good at just befriending everybody and anybody. And young or old, she was the one who would wander off in the grocery store and go talk to people. And like that innocence and that love that she had just for people has been corrupted by the world to some extent. But like it's so beautiful. So Lord, restore that in us so that a 15-year-old girl who's standing in front of the mirror every morning dreading going to school because she doesn't want to be bullied or she worries about her self-image and she worries about what people are going to think about her, unbind her and let her go. Or a couple whose marriage is in trouble and they've they've been married for so long that it's just become tedious, and they've become roommates, and they don't remember why they even got married when they got married. Like, this is just life, and this is just what we do. There's no joy here anymore. Unbind them and let them go. There are people who are struggling with depression who put on a smile when they walk through the door, and they go home and they're lonely and they're lost, and they cry themselves to sleep because they just feel so alone. Unbind them and let them go. There are people who are dealing with shame from their past, who are dealing with self-loathing, who don't think that they're good enough, who don't think that they'll ever be loved. They don't think they're worthy of love. Unbind them and let them go. And there's people who are wrestling with drug and alcohol addiction or abuse, and they are filling themselves with these chemicals because they just don't want to feel pain anymore, because they just want to be numb, and they don't know how else to do it. Unbind them and let them go. The unbinding comes when you encounter Jesus. It's time to be just vibrant and passionate about our faith. Saturday was the Michigan State game, right? Yesterday? And I watched this man, my beloved husband, he's so excited, like jumping off the couch. And, you know, my daughters, they're like jumping around and acting all crazy. And they had just this passion for these teams and this game. And what if we had that same kind of passion for life-giving things, for Jesus? Jesus was passionate when he cleared the temple courts, and he came in with a whip, and he's just whoosh, and he's overturning tables, and he's angry because people weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing, and they were taking advantage of people. We should have that same kind of passion. When you see something unjust in the world, don't just sit back and say, really too bad that's happening. Ask God if there's something you should do about it. Take part in the unbinding of the world. And there's two sides to if only. I think there's a side of if only where we can get caught in the past and we can be like very self-loathing. But there's also another side of if only. There's a side of if only. What if there's a dreaming part of that too? There's a side of it that can draw us into Jesus. There's a side of it that doesn't have to draw us back, but can point us forward, point us to the cross, point us to Jesus. What if, I can guarantee there's somebody here in this room who has a dream on your heart of something that you want to do, but it seems so much bigger than you, and you don't know that it could ever happen. Why not try? Why not ask God? Pray about it. Ask for direction. Those desires and those things that you have on your heart. One of mine is the housing issues in Allegan County. At some point in time, I would like to be able to have the means and the ability to somehow tackle, like, we've got people who come out of jail and they go into rehab, and then they come out of rehab and they don't have anybody and they don't have anything and they don't have a place to go that's safe, that's a community where they can come and grow and get a job and start working and get on their feet. And that's one of my dreams, one of my if onlys. If only, Lord, this were this way, how much different could this community and this county be? God put that on my heart for a reason. I don't have the means to do much about it right now, but it's in the back of my mind. So when the opportunity comes, we're going to do something about it. So start hoping and dreaming about whatever it is. And this beautiful young woman over here, man, when I was your age, I wish somebody would have told me to hope and to dream, and that the world would have, I'm really thankful for where I am now, but man, it was a hard road getting here. So young lady, hope and dream big, dream big. And don't ever let anybody steal that from you or squash it, because Jesus loves you. He loves each and every one of you. And because he loves you, he walks with you, and you are forgiven, and you are free. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much that you are a God of resurrection, that you are a God of love, that you are a God who accepts us just for the way that we are, that nothing we can do is going to make you love us anymore, and nothing you can do is going to make us love you, and that you can't love us any less, that we are yours. So for those here in this room who are wrestling with what it means to be loved by you, Father, I just pray that you send your spirit upon them right now, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, that you wash not only over them, but wash over each and every one of us, Lord. We desire a relationship. We desire, just give a heavenly hug, a heavenly hug, a peace, Lord. Fill this place with your glory, so that the folks who are here know that you are real, that you love them, that you care about their circumstances. But most of all, let them know that they're not alone. Help them to rise up. To rise up and have the courage to come alongside other folks who just need a friend. Put somebody in each of our paths this week where a conversation can happen, and where we can just do life with somebody who's different than us. And as we're doing life with them, that not only are we pouring into them, but they're pouring into us as well. So we thank you for what you're going to do, and we praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for calling us all to come out of our mess, and to be free. And if there's anybody here who's wondering what this Jesus thing is all about, wondering who he is, and hasn't accepted you into their heart as of yet, Lord, I just pray that they feel you now. And if you are that person, just encourage you to pray with me. Father God, I thank you for Jesus, and I want to live for you, and I want to live different. So I give my life to you, Lord. Have my heart. Fill me with your thoughts. Fill me with your spirit. And walk alongside me and give me the courage to walk different. Forgive me of my sins. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.